when I listened to this tape, I couldn't believe it. And every time I listen to it, I still can't believe it. But I go entirely by the integrity of this good friend of mine who knows the people that recorded this. And if it wasn't for him and his reputation, I would say something is really weird about this tape. This is called Hallelujah, and it's by the Angelic Choir and Orchestra. And I mean that literally. What happened was, and as related to me by Dr. Schneider from Kansas City, a group of seven people in Kansas City got together for choir practice. Have you heard this? Anybody heard this? Okay, a few people have. Everywhere I go around the country, one or two people have heard it, or have heard about it. But this is the tape of it. Seven people got together for choir practice in a church in Kansas City, and they were checking the sound equipment and their harmonies. And they sang the chorus, Hallelujah, through. They paused, and then they sang it through again. That was it, a cappella, no instrument. And when they started playing it back, they thought something went wrong with the system until they realized that there were thousands of voices singing with them. There was a harp, bass guitar, trumpets, all sorts of things in there. And then during the time that they had paused, there's a solo, which none of them sang. To complicate matters, one of the men that was singing with them a few months later went down to Haiti on a missions trip. And when he was down there, the group, the church they were ministering at, the song leader was leading them in the Hallelujah chorus. And during the middle of it, he started singing this chorus, or the verse that's found on this tape. And he went up to the song director afterwards, who didn't speak any English, and asked him where he got the words to that verse that he sang. And he said, I didn't sing a verse. How can you explain it? You can't. But I have a friend in Lubbock, Texas. I'll be with him next week, and he's a music professor. And he listened to this tape, and he said, Claude, there are voices on there that are higher than the human vocal range can go, and they are sustained for a longer time than what the human voice can sustain one note with that much clarity. And so there is no other explanation for it except supernatural. The host of heaven heralded the birth of Jesus into this world, and I believe the host of heaven is also going to herald his return.
Thank you. name is Connie Baker. I'm co-pastor of the Father's House in Stockton. What you're about to hear is truly amazing. On July 14th, 2007, we were able to hear angels singing in the background with our worship team as we were worshiping the Lord. Listen very carefully when you hear the audio. The audio that you're about to hear is of the angels singing that was actually caught on audio that night.
On Tuesday night was one of the highlights for me when we ended in that time of worship. And I don't know how many heard angels singing. I mean, it was just heavenly. And so I want to show a clip of that tonight. And then as the clip comes to an end, I just want you to stand, and I want you to end into that worship, because we can hook it right up with the Holy Ghost. Let's do that tonight. Let's go to that clip right now. Let's go to that clip. Dim the lights, please.
want to introduce you now to a testimony by Mal Tari as he shares about a choir of angels.
The Bible said angels are ministering spirit, and they actually play a very important role in the life of the believers and what God is doing in this world and in the kingdom. Now, when you go back to the Bible, there's all kind of examples. You know, the angel that bring the message to Mary, and the angel that spoke to Zechariah, Old Testament. There's all kind of examples about angels visiting and being a part of what God is doing. Now, in the early days of revival, the Lord sent the angels and helped us out in many, many different ways, for which we are grateful, because without them, we wouldn't be as effective in bringing the gospel to the lost in those days. For instance, when we go to a certain village, I remember, now, we didn't have an advanced team that go and put up the flyers and the radio announcement and television, you know, to tell people that on such and such a day, the team will be here. The Lord told us to go to the team and to the village, and we arrived there, let's say, 3-4 days later. We arrive at night, and then we want to start the meeting the next day. But the people are scattered all over the village in a big area, and it is just impossible to let everybody know that we are going to start the meeting, let's say, 10 o'clock the next morning. But you know what? The ministering angel were right there doing their part so that this gospel can go to the multitude. While we were sleeping that night, the host of angels, now I'm not sure how many because the people told us the story the next day, but they said it is like a whole choir of angels. They were going around the villages from house to house everywhere, and they were singing songs, you know, worship songs and gospel songs and all that. And so the people in the village, they heard that, so they said to themselves, hey, there must be a team coming into the church here, so we better go there tomorrow morning and see if they are there, because of the songs that were going around all night. So they thought it was us, the team, who were going around the village to sing that night. And of course we didn't. We were asleep because we've been walking all day, so we, you know, tired, and so we were resting. And so the next morning, when we woke up, lo and behold, I mean, people coming from every direction. About 10 or 11 o'clock, the church was packed, and we were ready to preach, and people got saved and healed and set free and all that. And so we asked the people, how did you guys know that there's going to be a meeting here and you show up this morning? They said, well, didn't you guys going around the village last night singing? So that's why we knew that there must be something going on in church. That's why we came. We said, no, we didn't wake up all night singing. We so tired, and when we arrive in the village, we all crash. And but they said, well, but somebody were going around singing all night. Then we realize, you know, we said to them, where's voice, beautiful voice and all that. They said, oh yeah, it was just beautiful, beautiful voices. We said, well, it got to be the angels. Not only because first we are tired, but secondly, we wouldn't sing as pretty as those voices that you heard singing last night. So we know that it was the ministering angels doing their part in making it possible that the people will know that the gospel is going to be preached. They came, got saved. So that is one little story, but exciting story about what the angels can do in order to help us fulfill the destiny and the plan and the purpose that God has for us. And remember, those angels are available to you to guard you, to be with you, and to protect you from harm. So just let the angels of God minister to you. If you are the child of God, they are available for you for that purpose.
But this tape comes from Pond Inlet on the Baffin Islands. And the whole way that this tape came into my hands is an absolute miracle. But basically, it came out of my connection with Canada when I was in a meeting and I prophesied. And over a missionary who used to be there, to cut a long story short, the tape came to his hand. And then it came to the pastor of the church, and I happened to be in Ireland at a conference. And this pastor from Regina also happened to be in Carlo, Southern Ireland. And he met me there and he said, this tape is part of your inheritance, because of what happened in his church. I just want to tell you then what happened. On this tape, you will hear a little church right up in Pond Inlet who got desperate. They went through day one and day two. They began to look at their community And then, as you would know over this side, the Canadian government then made restitution to the Inuit people and formed the new territory of Nunavut. And they had the ceremony of handing back this territory. And this little church, which had been under all this missions stuff for so long, suddenly something happened in them, and they thought, this is our land, we are the people, we've got to take responsibility. So they began to walk through the community, and they discovered that 50% of all the boys were sexually and physically abused. 70% of all the girls were sexually and physically abused. There was so much alcohol abuse in the town that most of the church members had between 25 to 45 children in their house during the drinking binge days, because they just had to rescue them off the streets. And something broke in their hearts. And they prayed and fasted on and off in sort of just a scattered way for 7 to 8 months. And then finally a trumpet call said, no, we're going to fast and pray for 1 week, men, women, and children. And then on the Sunday, they came to church, and you will hear the tape. But I just want to tell you another bit of the story that only happened last week. The tape was given to me by that Canadian pastor in Carlow, Ireland. I came to this conference directly from Ireland, and I was in a place called Greystones, which is just a few miles away from Carlow. And I played this tape. Instantly, a woman came running up to me. She says, I am Ruth Hill. My best friend was a lady called Faith Turner. Her dad was martyred up in Pond Inlet, Baffin Island, while she was still in the womb of her mama. And my best friend always carried this deep, deep pain. I've lost my dad. This girl, Faith Turner, who grew up knowing her dad had been martyred, then decided she would train as a nurse and return to Baffin Island to go and see. She did that. She was so scandalized by the child abuse and alcohol that after 3 years she left it totally burnt out, saying, God, my dad died for absolutely nothing. I've never seen such a hell pit in all my life. Ruth Hill and Faith, who were good friends, then lost contact and never heard from each other for 8 years. I arrive in this conference with this tape, play it. Ruth comes running to me and saying, do you mean Pond Inlet, Canada, Baffin Island? I said, I do. And she said, just 3 days before I came to this conference, I got a letter from Faith Turner. She has come back to Vancouver to be with her mum, who's dying. Wrote to me and said, Ruth, I'm sorry, I lost contact. But I still ask, why, God, has nothing happened in Baffin Island? After my time in this conference, I go to Medicine Hat, Helena, then Vancouver. I've now got all her address and all her details. I'm going to take her this tape, and you'll know why. Because in this tape, this little community got together in October 98, and their Sunday meeting was totally, totally blown away by the Spirit of God. You'll hear this little group begin to pray on their guitar. And an intercessor begin to cry, oh God, come. And then suddenly you will hear, don't worry about it, you will hear the wind of the Spirit blow into this meeting. That meeting was so transformed that they ran out of the meeting to their homes. They got hold of all stolen and other stuff. And they made a bonfire of $100,000 Canadian worth of stuff. And the Royal Mounted Police were worried that something was going on. By the end of the week, 70% of that community is born again. And so began the Arctic Fire, which is going right through the Arctic. It's the third day. This morning I collected my emails. There's an email from Faith Turner. She said, I want to see you in Vancouver. I want that tape. She said, I've just been going through my father's things. There is a prophetic word here. It says, one day a wind will blow through this community and blow away all the grot, the dirt, etc. And it's exactly 70 years. Exactly 70 years. As you listen to this tape, I want you to hear the third day that's going to blow into your place. It's going to blow. Come, Holy Spirit. And let this wind return you to the Lord.
Hallelujah. In a vision of the night, in the spirit I saw an enormous angel, 10 times larger than the most physical and muscular man I'd ever seen on this earth. He had golden curly hair with eyes like liquid blue lightning. His face was like that of a shining white hot furnace, and in his mouth were tongues of fire, which came forth beautiful celestial languages of the heavens. Suddenly his right hand extended upward toward the northern sky, while his left hand clasped the end of a brilliant, bright, glowing ember sword. His clothes were made of a heavenly material, such as not ever found or seen on this earth. Like a very fine bead-like material that seemed as if it were alive. Platinum-like in color, it pulsated with light, a living light, that emanated the very glory of my Creator God. Oh, in sundry and ever-changing musical melodies, in endless scales and discants of indescribable beauty, were like a spontaneous spring gushing forth from his very garments. This angelic being had just come fresh from the presence of Almighty God. For I began to realize that the glory beads of his garment still sparkled and shimmered with the light of God's own Shekinah presence. I trembled at the reality and the very existence of such glorious beings, obviously from another dimension far greater than this. His face was imbued with a spirit of nobility and purity and purpose, and yet with an almost pitiful expression, he looked down on my trembling frame and said with a loud clarion voice, "Come." He took me by the hand, and in one moment we were moving upward at great speed, where I could see on the horizon to the north a great throne of light. All around the throne was a brilliant fog and mist, surrounded by incalculably tall towering clouds with a multitude of lightnings and loud thunders encompassing it. And I could see angelic beings singing beautiful songs, and some were doing cartwheels in the sky. Again, on the horizon, one could easily see in the far distance a glorious throne upon which sat the most excellent, glorious God and King, and above his throne was an emerald rainbow, the arc of which is immeasurable in height, too awesome to describe. And to the northeast, I could clearly see 7 large jeweled mountains with pillars of holy fire extending up from them. The angel said, "This is the future dwelling place prepared for God's own elect." I then pleaded with the angel, "Please take me closer to God's throne, because I could feel the life and the love and the light that came from his very being, even though it was at such a far distance. The closer we drew, the more alive I felt, the more joy. I never felt so alive in my entire existence. God is the source of all life and love and holiness, perfection. To be close to him is an unutterable ecstasy." And as we drew closer, I trembled with fear, for I began to see the 4 beasts. These cherubim-like creatures, great, powerful, living creatures who protect the throne of God, who incessantly praise the Lord of the universe. And I could see the multitude of their eyes, within and without, who see and discern all things. One is not capable to perceive or calculate their height, their width, their fearsome might or power, the amplitude of their energy or strength.
And glory and honor has a great throng of angelic symphonies. Play continuously free flowing music.
As I looked upward, I could see streaking across the celestial skies of heaven like shooting stars, multitudes of amber-like chariots of multiple colors, carrying scores of heavenly luminaries. And I could see a sea of angelic beings, seraphim and cherubim and archangels, and angels of all varieties, a multitude too numerous to estimate, all raising their hands and playing instruments to the glory of Him who sits on the throne between the four beasts. Myriads of angels with such beautiful and glorious singing. Millions of angelic voices blended together in discant so high and harmonious and complex with amazing ethereal quality as to defy the imagination. Suddenly there appeared to the right side of the throne one who had the appearance as unto the Son of Man. In an instant the angel and I fell prostrate on the crystal floor as if slain, while a great archangel larger than the sun exclaimed with a loud voice, "Behold the Son of God, worship Him!" The brilliance of the Shekinah streams forth from His presence for millions and millions of earth miles, and with a voice on many waters, He said, "Let him who has ears hear what Jesus Christ has to say to His church. Happy is he who turns aside from the pride of this life, the lust of the flesh, and who forsakes the secular, ungodly, worldly paths of this fallen cosmos, and Lucifer, the fallen one." Then suddenly I heard peals of the loudest thunders and huge lightnings as the heavenly whirlwinds pushed us higher and higher toward the Most Holy One's very own throne. Nothing else can be more than that gleaming upon His face, or see His form. No evil will dwell in His presence, no man will glory in His presence, no flesh can glory in His presence. Yet the extent of the Holy Father's face is incomprehensible and without a measure or analogy. To see this part of the vision was for me to melt into nothingness. I cried out to the angel, "Please save my life." For the lips of the Lord are as a furnace of fire. There is no metaphor or words in earth language to describe all this. The face of our God cannot be spoken of. Yet from His glorious face emits sparks and lightnings of life for the entire universe. The light of the face of God is brighter than a trillion sun stars. His holy face is manlike, but it's translucent and incandescent and so unutterably beautiful and pleasurable beyond any compare. Supremely awesome and infinitely unique and glorious, with powerful and mighty mysterious voices, with incomprehensible magnitudes, multiple voices and billions of commands, simultaneous commands emitting forth from His mouth and being. His form is attended to by armies of the millions of angels who obey His every pulse of thought and whim, who do His bidding and worship His holy face with never silent singing. The glory of the omnipotent eternal one is dazzling beyond description. Then this marvelous archangel looked down upon me and said, "Yet even the least of the elect saints are the brothers of Jesus Christ, your Lord. Yea, even thou shalt sing a song that we angelic beings can never sing. For by the blood of Jesus you have been adopted and made part of the royal family of God. And you will sing forever the song of the redeemed, and shall rule and reign with our God. Yet I still remember the vision, and can almost recall the glorious sounds of these angels. For with the angel's song, I again can see the throne. Glory, glory to you forever and ever.
Padre Santo, Espíritu Santo, Angelico, el anima, se ne va verso l'eterno.